In Hebrews, the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 7, there's some very interesting insights into Jesus. Hebrews 5:7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. What's the key word in this passage today? Jesus learned obedience by what he achieved, by what he was given, by what he had control over. No, it says that he learned obedience by what he suffered. Jesus suffered, and it seems like it was for a reason. The Apostle Paul, we read about just a few moments ago, he suffered a lot too. And he said, you know, there's a reason for this. But this is a question that nags us, bugs us, and annoys us. When we're going through tough times, when things are difficult, when we're suffering, we'd like to have an answer to the question, is this really necessary? Is suffering necessary? Well, the answer you're going to get today is no, it's not. And, yes, it is. Now you say, hey, wait a minute, you talking out of both sides of your mouth? Nope. It depends. It depends on life circumstances, situations. It's like saying, is fire good or bad? Is fire good? Yes, very good. In the fireplace, in the furnace, fire is wonderful. Is fire bad? Yes, fire is bad. Running up and down your kitchen cabinets, fire is bad. So you get the answer yes and no to that question too. Let's take the no one first. Is suffering really necessary? There's so many times when suffering is avoidable, preventable, it shouldn't happen. It was just plain stupid that it is happening. Some impaired driver is out on the road who shouldn't be driving. Whether it's because they've got something running through their system or because they don't have the ability to see well anymore and they crash into somebody else and cause all sorts of pain and suffering and death. You say, that was not necessary. It shouldn't have happened. Some kook walks into a classroom in Virginia Tech and starts shooting people right and left. Was that suffering necessary? Everybody knows it was pointless and stupid and it just shouldn't have happened. It was outrageous. Made no sense whatsoever. Some mechanic puts the wrong kind of fuel into a gasoline tank for an airplane, and the plane crashes. Was all that suffering necessary? No, it should have been avoided. A lot of the pain that people can suffer in their physical needs, after surgery or even dealing with medical conditions, a whole lot of that suffering is not necessary these days. We have a whole lot of painkillers. We have a whole lot of things that can relieve pain. I read an article that said a lot of doctors weren't well schooled in this and they weren't prescribing enough medications for people not to experience pain. But hopefully that they would be better educated. There's more powerful stuff that can work better, and so people don't have to go through all that pain. If a person is dying from terminal cancer and heroin would be the very thing that could relieve their suffering while they're dying, why not give it to him or to her? Why is that pain necessary? We've got a lot of blessings in modern technology that can lessen pain, so a lot of suffering just shouldn't be happening. You know, I think you'd agree that it's true, the older you get, the more careful you get, right? The more cautious, the fewer risks you want to take. Why? Because you've learned along the way, from when you were a little kid to a wild teenager or whatever, that if you're not careful, stuff happens and you suffer pain And it just didn't have to happen because you really didn't have to risk it. You really didn't have to do it. So a whole lot of us who are older are saying, you know, I know pain is avoidable, and therefore I'm not going to go bungee jumping. I'm not going to go skateboarding. I'm not going to drive fast because, you know, people can get hurt, and I can get hurt. Joanna Sloan was waiting in a line in a restaurant when she heard a nurse from the local hospital talking about a man who had been brought into the emergency room the night before. Seems that he and his buddies wanted to go fishing, and they were taking a raft with them. They got tired of blowing it up, so they took it down to the gas station to get it blown up real fast. Trouble was, they couldn't get it back in the car afterwards. So this good old boy decides that what he'd do is he'd get up on, put the raft on top of the car, and then he'd lay on the raft and hold it. You see what's coming here, don't you, right? Hold it while his buddy drives to the fishing place. That was working fine. They were going along good. He was driving. This guy's wife was following in the car behind him until they got up to about 50 miles an hour and this great big semi-tractor trailer passed them, and that thing went airborne and the boy slammed into the trunk on the way down to the ground, and then his wife ran over him. But he only suffered a broken foot. Was that suffering necessary? Oh, come on, man. That was stupid. Not all suffering has a point, but I can understand why people believe that it does, because it ought to make sense. It ought to be a reason for it. Why am I going through all of this? And you know, when we read our Bibles, we see Jesus hard at work trying to relieve suffering. Isn't that what his miracles are all about? Here's a person who suffered bleeding for 12 years. I want her to be healed. Here's somebody else who's got a great pain. Here's somebody who's got leprosy. Suffered a lot with that. I'm going to take that leprosy away. Blindness. I mean, all sorts of physical problems. They come to Jesus and he lessens their suffering. Makes things okay. If that's not the will of God, then why was Jesus doing it? No, he's very busy. Healing the sick, and curing lepers, and restoring light eyesight. If God wants us to suffer, why does he give us the vision of Revelation 21 at the end of the Bible? At the end of time, and when everything's wrapped up in the kingdom of God, what does it say? There is no longer any crying. There is no more mourning. There is no more pain, for the first things have passed away. It's God's will that we not be suffering, according to the vision of Revelation 21. You can read it for yourself. So, God is in the business of making suffering less, or trying to do away with it. So, is suffering necessary? In a lot of instances, no, it's not. But then in another sense, yes, it is. It's something helpful, something good, something that's quite necessary. Now, I don't have to bother to try to describe to you all the different kinds of suffering there is in the world today. If you got any bit of experience under your belt at all, you know what kind of suffering is out there. And you've been through a bunch of it too. And it was no fun. Let's take the suffering that somebody goes through, though. Let's say to have their heart worked on, a heart bypass procedure. That is not a picnic. That is not a whole lot of fun. Fortunately, you don't have to be awake while they're doing it now. We live in that day and time when you're completely out of it. But the people I've talked to who've had the heart procedure done said when they woke up, it felt like a truck had run over their chest. That hurts. That is a lot of suffering. Why would anybody in his or her right mind submit to that? It's obvious. I'm going to go through this time of intense suffering. It's going to be really bad, but it's going to help. It's going to improve my life. My heart will work better. All the pain will go away. I will live because I go through this pain. That pain has meaning. Why would anybody have their knee replaced? That's a pain in the knee, really. But they do it because that time of intense suffering is worth it, when they do away with all the other pain that has been there already, or would be there if they didn't do it. When I read about the suffering that our soldiers go through, During the American Civil War, unbelievably bad conditions, starvation, going for the longest time in trench warfare. Just, you read about the miseries that a soldier went through the American Civil War. Or I have talked to World War II veterans who were infantrymen and they were in the trenches. And they talked, this old guy, Frank Shackelford, talked about looking over at an army soldier in the ditch next to him there who had died. And he was thinking to himself, "You lucky son of a gun. It's over for you." He said he was just going through hell. He'd have been glad to have died. But you ask a soldier, "Why are you doing this then? Going through all this suffering?" And they just might talk about such things as, "I'm fighting for my homeland. I'm fighting for my family. I'm going through this for the cause of freedom. Or I'm going through this for my country and serving my country. That's why I'm going through all this pain." Oh, is it worth it? Many a soldier has said, yes, it is. They didn't desert. They didn't give up. They didn't go home. So apparently we human beings value something more than just our lack of suffering. Is suffering necessary? If you're going to achieve a greater good, it often is. And then how about the book of Job? You know what the book of Job is all about, don't you? You talk about suffering. It's all set up for us here. You know the book of Job. Job is a very righteous man. He's a very wealthy man. He has a lot of riches. And the sons of God come before him one day, and the advocate or the adversary, is there, Satan, as he might be called. And God says to him, "Hey, what about Job? I've got a really good follower in Job, don't I?" And Satan says, "Well, yeah, sure you do. He's rich. He's got it made. Life is easy. Take all that away from him. He's not your man. He wouldn't believe in you. He wouldn't trust you." For some reason or another, God says, "Okay, well, let's see." And he allows everything to be taken away from Job. I mean, his wife, his children, he loses all of them. He loses all of his possessions. He is left absolutely destitute. But he doesn't curse God. He still blesses God. God says, "Hey, how about that, Satan? He's my man, huh?" Satan basically says, "Ha, yeah, right, he sure is. He's still got his health. And when you've got your health, you've got just about everything. Take that away from him, and he's not your man." You know what happened. God, I think reluctantly, allowed him to be afflicted with all sorts of physical suffering. On top of his emotional and material loss, he loses his health. He's just covered with boils from head to toe. He suffers immensely. But he still hangs in there with God. Basically, this whole book is about, suffering is a test. You never do find out what kind of person you are. You never do find out what kind of faith you have if you're only going through good times. If everything's just fine and dandy, everything's working out, if you're comfortable, it don't happen. You only know what your faith is like. Only know what your relationship to God is like when you're going through suffering. Basically, in the book of Job, it says suffering is a test. Did Job pass the test? Yeah, he did. Hey, be like Job. You can ask all these questions. You won't necessarily get answers. Job never did get an answer. God just asked him a bunch of questions. Basically said, "Trust me. Trust me." And that's what you and I have to do too. So if you're going through suffering, maybe it's a test. These tests, the Bible says, applied to Jesus. During the days of Jesus' life, what was life like for him? Was he floating about in a little cloud of comfort? No, he was walking hot, dusty roads. Was he insulated from the heat, the sun? No, it burnt him. And the flies bothered him just as badly as every other human being in that day and time. Did Jesus ever get hungry? Very hungry. Ever in need? Tremendous need. He suffered a lot, not just physically, but then, of course, he was persecuted greatly. He was criticized, misunderstood, tempted, persecuted, murdered. And the Bible says right here, that although he was a son, He learned obedience from what he suffered. That's amazing. Now, if Jesus is learning that kind of lesson as the Son of God, what are you and I as sons and daughters of God to be doing and learning? Out of our suffering, learning obedience, learning to trust God, learning to have faith even when you don't have all the answers. Now, parents who insulate their children from suffering, don't do their children a great service. Last week we were talking about helicopter parents and those who want to just make things all right and fix things even for their grown children. Remember we were talking about that? Well, now, we are highly motivated as parents that our children not go through unnecessary suffering, but we can't insulate them from everything. They just have to get out into the world, into the school of hard knocks, and get their knocks, and take their downfalls, and go through bad stuff. We cannot insulate them. If we try to, we really haven't allowed them to learn their lessons along the way. Isn't that a tension you feel as a parent? How much to let go and let them suffer, and how much to hang on and to protect? Boy, it's not easy. Not easy at all. But there are lessons to be learned. Businessman Harvey McKay wrote in a book, Pushing the Envelope, he cited a study where people were asked who had been through a lot of suffering, did you learn something from this? Did it help you? 87% of people said, yep, it made me a stronger person. Yep, it made me a smarter person. Or yes, I saw this benefit out of this great suffering. 87% said that. I don't know if you remember Lee Atwater. Lee Atwater was a close advisor to the first President Bush. He was a political operative, political shark. I mean, this man could be rough on his political opponents. He was almost really downright mean. Lee Atwater could cut the legs out of a political opponent real fast. Something happened to Lee Atwater. He got a brain tumor. He got a brain tumor and he went through a lot of suffering himself. And he changed. He changed his attitude, he said, changed his opinion, he changed his way of operating. He said, my illness helped me to see what was missing in society is what was missing in me. A little heart, a lot of brotherhood, and to see that we must be made to speak to this spiritual vacuum at the heart of American society, this tumor of the soul. It's a bad thing for Lee Atwater to have a brain tumor. But he sure did learn a lot from it, a lot that moved him toward a more Christ-like position about how to treat people, how to be kind in this world. Shame we have to go through something like that in order to get it right. Did you know that on a Boeing 707 jet aircraft, they have these little fins in along the tip of the wing of the back of the airplane? And those things are there for a reason. They're there to cause turbulence. Because the designers of the wing found out when they had a perfectly smooth wing and no turbulence, the jet didn't lift very well, and it was really hard to steer the jet. And so by putting in these little fins, it created some turbulence over the wing of the jet, making it much easier to be lifted into the sky and much easier to steer. Maybe there's a little lesson in that, that it's out of the turbulence that's in our lives that we're lifted up closer to God. Out of the rough times we're going through, that we're going to get it steering right the way we should be going. That would certainly be an insight into something like that. Now, maybe the question that would be bugging you is to say, okay, I see there's a good reason for suffering. Now, I have a question. Does God cause this suffering? Does He inflict it on us? Does He mess us up and trip us up? Life is going good and then wham, we get sideswiped. God did it. You know, He can if He wants to. But Jesus said, now wait a minute. You, earthly parents, if a father has a son come and says, would you give me an egg? Would you give him a snake? No. He said, "If you give, would you give me an egg? Would you give him a stone?" He said, no, you wouldn't do that. Or if he asked for a fish, would you give him a snake? He said, no. If you, as sinful earthly fathers, know how to do good for your children, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to bring you good things? To say that God brings suffering on us would be like, you know, your little kid is running along, happy and doing just fine, you stick your foot out and trip him to where he falls and hurts himself, scrapes himself up real bad, or breaks a leg. What kind of a father is that? We have words to describe a father like that. Now, who wants to accuse God of sticking his foot out and tripping us and making us suffer? I find that hard to believe. I think life is doing just a fine job in itself. This world has plenty of attacks, plenty of problems, plenty of things it inflicts on us. Yes, God has let go. Yes, he does let these things happen. That's definitely true. He said in the first book of the Bible he was letting go. We live in a no-net world. There's not a safety net protecting us from every pain and heartache and trouble that comes along. We're going to suffer these things just because the world is going to slam us with it. But there can be a purpose in it, and there can be lessons to be learned. I don't like to go through it. I don't like to learn them. And whether or not God is bringing something to you or just allowing it to happen, I have no idea. You can describe the situation to somebody else all day long. They'd still have to scratch their heads and say, I don't know. I don't know. It's a mystery. Is God doing this or is it just happening? Life is complex. The ways of God are often hidden. Not even Job got an explanation for his suffering, so why should you and I? If you received a clear explanation of why you were going through that suffering, you know what you'd probably do? You'd argue with it. You'd complain. You'd say it was unfair. We'd do that. That's our human nature. And suffering is ultimately a test of our faith. Jesus Christ was who he was, and he is who he is, not because he was born of a virgin, not because he was the Son of God, and he had some kind of special status. He achieved all that he achieved through suffering. So you and I should not recoil from it or think that it's not for us as well. It's just very, very necessary. Praise God, though, that he's the kind of God who picks us up, and he heals us, and he helps us along, and he puts us on our path. He says, you know, even if you die, I've got you, and you're mine, and not just for a short time, but forever. If that's true, I can trust a God like that, even in the midst of suffering. How about you? Let's pray about this. Our Heavenly Father, we don't pretend to come and be able to have pat little answers or everything all wrapped up in a neat little bundle and walk out of here knowing what suffering is all about. But we thank you for asking us the questions today. Thank you for what we've been able to think, to prod deeper into our faith, to know better. But in that mystery, and in that lack of understanding, may it be that what is strengthened is our resolve, is our trust of you. We have the perfect example in Jesus Christ. Help us to be reaching for that perfect example always. In his name we pray. Amen.